I would shoot a photo, and it would, okay, say the photo was blurry or whatever. So through research, obviously, I would have to increase the speed. But if I'm increasing the speed, that means that, you know, I have to figure out to compensate for the light. So it's in a kind of like trial and error and, you know, process of elimination. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. This works. This works. This doesn't work.
Hey, welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, brought to you by CloudSpot, the easiest way to deliver and even sell your photos online. I am your host, Raymond Hatfield, and each week I interview one of the world's most interesting photographers to learn what it really takes to capture beautiful images and compelling stories so that you can start to do the same. Now, today is an episode from the BPP Vault where we revisit our treasure trove of interviews to offer both new and longtime listeners a chance to uncover the powerful lessons and insights and practical tips to enhance your photography skills. So whether you're listening with fresh ears or a new perspective, there's always something new to learn. In today's interview, we are chatting with street photographer Donato DiCamillo about uncovering humanity through photography. Donato is a talented photographer and an interesting guy, but the reason that I brought him on was because of the challenges that he faced when learning photography. Donato found himself in a situation that most of us will never find ourselves in, and he had the choice between continuing down the path that he was on or allowing photography to change his life. I hope that this episode puts, the overwhelm that you may feel right now. And I hope that it puts that into perspective and leaves you inspired. So be sure to stick around to the end of the interview where I'm going to share my three biggest takeaways with you so that you can start to implement the wisdom that you hear on this podcast into your own photography. So with that, let's go ahead and get on into today's interview. Andrew Helmage of PhotoBizX, he reached out to me and he's like, Raymond, you got to check out this Donato guy. He learned photography while he was incarcerated. And I was like, whoa. So before we get there, before we get into the photography side of things, did your interest in photography kind of come out of left field, or was it something that had been brewing and this was just kind of the straw that broke the camel's back for you?
I think it came out of left field. I don't think it was, it wasn't planned at all, really. So I guess it just came from over the years. You know, I was always a big, I was really big on programs like Nova and Smithsonian, what the hell's the guy's name? The guy from the BBC. I used to just love that kind of stuff. What's that guy?
James Attenborough.
Yeah, I used to love the way he talked and the way he presented, animals and nature and stuff like that. So I was always curious about the world as a whole. I just think that it sparked curiosity. The photography came in through that, National Geographic and things like that. I think because, reading the stories wasn't good enough, to see a wonderful photograph that depicts, it kind of brought you there. You know what I'm saying? It kind of brings you there in a sense. So I was always intrigued with stories and differences and people and even anthropology, the study of people was always intriguing to me, that kind of thing,
Why do you think that is? Like, why was it about like science, nature? Obviously James Attenborough's like beautiful voice. Like, I understand that, but it's like the subject matter of all these stories. Why do you think that connected with you so much?
I think it was because I was an immigrant and everything seemed foreign to me. It was just like, as a young kid, my family, coming from Italy and their culture, they didn't know the American way. So I'd go to school, for instance, and they'd give me they cut my hair at home and just a bowl hair and just like put me in mismatched clothes and they were kind of like, it was almost, I would compare it to peasants back you know, and I would be, I'd come home and like, I was tortured in school, and I didn't understand why, you know what I mean? I was like, why do I feel so different? And so I think I was intrigued by the way other people lived. And that was, I think, you know, the catalyst to get that kind of made me like, you know, explore, you know, different cultures and stuff like that. I think because I was so curious about, you know, other cultures and how, you know, I don't know. It's just, I think it came from that, like from me being different and wanting to understand more about people. That's pretty much it, I think.
Okay. I think that's beautiful. So I guess where does the camera come into this? Because, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you had been incarcerated, and I guess that's where all this started. But I guess why? Yeah. Why photography? Why not writing? Why not reading stories? Why photography?
Well, I suck at writing, so that was definitely not a choice. I loved old film. I loved watching, you know, any kind of film. I just loved how it was made. I loved, even if it was a cheesy horror flick, like, you know, I would just absorb it so much better than anything else. You know, visual, that's how I learn. I even on the street, I wouldn't look at a street sign and say, oh, this is 75th Street or 76th. It would be like a building. Like that's what was the point of reference for me. It wasn't names of streets. It was, I know it by this, you know. I just observed. I just sucked everything in. From an early age, I was always looking at my surroundings and kind of just absorbing everything. I don't know why, but I think that's, you know, that was, you know, if that answers your question, I think, you know, I think it's just curiosity to, mm-hmm. It's just the way it was, I guess. I don't know.
I feel very similar, even though, as I was saying earlier, like born and raised in California, but like to today, we've lived in Indiana now for almost 11 years, and we've lived in the same town essentially. So like, I should know this town pretty well. And oftentimes somebody will be like, you know, we'll be talking about something. It'll be like, is that off 38th Street? I'm like, I don't, it's by the Little Caesars. Like, is that what you're talking about? So I totally get that. I think, the visual medium, once again, is like, if that's your strength, play to that and like lean in. And what's really cool about looking at your photography is that, you know, when I look at your work, I see somebody who has taken the time to almost build a photograph. And it's interesting because I look at, you know, some of your videos on YouTube, or I hear you talk about your process, and it doesn't seem as though it's like this lengthy, drawn out process. You don't go out and you're like, I know the perfect guy who I'm going to photograph today. This is what the shot's going to look like. It kind of happens organically. But has it always been like that? Or what was, okay, hold on. Let me go back. Cause I guess that once again, your entrance into photography is a little different than anybody else's. So talk to me about your earliest days in photography, because this was without a camera, right? Is this while you had just been incarcerated, or was this
weird? It was really weird. Yeah.
How does that go?
So the question is, so why photography, I guess, right? That's what sparked that.
How did you get into it?
Like I said, I was big into film, you know, and, I just loved the way things were put together. I remember watching Fellini, you know, and, you know, being from an Italian family, I guess, you know, I always bring up that fact that I'm from, an immigrant family. I don't want to be raised, you know, I don't be one invited, you know, I don't want to sound too prideful, but anyway, I think for my family, culture was an important part of growing up. And I think, you know, like my family used to make like homemade tomato sauce and homemade wine. And so culture was ingrained in my family makeup, like in growing up. So I just I was always curious. And when I think because of seeing different programs, you know, and watching different films like Fellini and seeing things unfold by, you know, I'm like looking at this and I'm in amazement of how they made every, like how Fellini would make something just flow so beautifully through his own mind, like from his own mind. So I think when I, let me just stop because I'm babbling right now. I was in prison. I'm going to keep it nice and easy. And so I was in prison and I don't usually like to talk about being in prison, but I'm going to talk because you're Andrew's friend and I just, why not? So while I was in there, I think it was just, for me, it was like watching a film, like a crazy, nutty f-ing film. It was just like, it was just, I was like, holy shit, this would be a perfect, you know, like, this would, this would be perfect. I would write, I would just like frame out pictures in my mind, you know, and like put together like sequences. And I, me and my buddies would just joke around about this would be awesome and like, you know, it would be great in a film. And because there were so many different characters there, and the strength of character was remarkable. I mean, you had artists, singers, and you had actors, and you know, it was, you even had a photographer there that would take pictures of, you know, for people on their visits. It was just remarkable to me to see. You know, I gotta say, there's so much wasted talent. It's sad. So much talent in those places. I mean, if I was a talent agent and I was allowed the opportunity to go scout somebody, I would go to a prison. That's the first place I would go because they have nothing else to do but to create, to make their craft the best that they could possibly do. That's all they have. If I had a camera in prison, I would have been a beast, come out like a beast with that camera. Seriously. And it's true for singers. I've seen opera singers, and because of the walls and the kind of that echoey kind of sound, it was just, you know, you would hear someone singing at night opera. Like, you know, be coming from like some skinny, like you would never think it was a guy singing it. So, yeah. So that, I think it happened way before. I think I was always interested in visual because that was a better way for me to learn. But when I was in prison, it made me really see what the fuck, like real, I was like amazed by the different cultures and how everybody was kind of just grooving and getting along, you know, some, most of the times, you know, in one place. So that was really the catalyst to the photography, you know.
So you said that there's writers, there's lots of talent, there's actors, there's even singers, and people just have time to practice their craft. How does a photographer practice their craft? How did you ensure that by the time you got out of there, you'd be a better photographer than when you went in?
You grow to, like, I mean, for me, my process, I became, rather than me, you know, look, it's a funny place, you know, and I didn't do a whole lot of time, you know, I did a couple of years. And so you have people doing life in there and walking the yard and, you know, talking about, I got 65 years left. And like, I can't even fathom it. So right away I'm thinking, geez, like I'm wondering how the fuck would I feel if I was, excuse my language. I'm notorious for this. I'm sorry. But how would I feel if I was doing 65 years? And I would look at people's faces and I would kind of like put myself in their shoes or kind of try to like absorb their energy, you know, in a sense. It sounds weird, but yeah, and I got to talking to a lot of people, and it just grew. It just was like a kind of, it grew my curiosity about people more so while in there. And so for me, it was like every time I went out, I was always clicking off pictures in my mind. My God, if I had a camera in there, I would have a body of work. I mean, anybody would, but it was incredible. It was really incredible, you know, especially, you know, not to say that it was fun, but I would definitely go back.
Really?
I would probably go back if I was allowed to go back with a camera and not
okay.
time. You know what I'm saying? Like just to hang out and take photos, not to go back.
I appreciate the clarification.
Yeah, it would definitely be an experience. Definitely. Yeah.
Okay, so what I love about that is, you know, I feel like with a lot of new photographers, it's very interesting. They get the camera, they try to figure out how it works, and then they do the rest of the stuff later, right? Try to connect with people, worry about lighting, worry about composition, worry about that moment. But to me, it sounds like without that camera in your hand for 3 years, just taking those photos in your head, all that you could do was focus on moment and connection with people. And that's a strong muscle to be able to strengthen there. Like, so when you finally got your hands on the camera and you were allowed to take photos, tell me what that process was like for you. How was learning the technical side of photography?
You know what? I would go on, like when I came home and, you know, I would go on chat. People thought I was like real stupid. I was like, like, what's an aperture? Like, I didn't understand the whole, I was like really, really slow at it. I remember talking to someone on the computer and they were like, Jesus, brother, like, you know, listen, I gotta go, like really wearing people out, like for simple shit. I mean, really, it's slow. But I really wanted to learn, and I thought it was important, because everybody would constantly say, you gotta use manual, you gotta use manual, you gotta shoot in manual. Like, why not shoot in manual when I can learn manual? Why do I have to shoot manual? Like, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. I just kind of like, you know, I put it on P for, you know, professional.
Of course. Yeah. But we all know that's what it stands for.
Yeah. And so I would, you know, how I learned was after I took the photo, I would look at the image and I would see what speed it was. And if it didn't work, you know, I kind of figured it, I needed it like that. So I would take a photo in P, let's say. And if it was too dark or grainy or whatever, I would adjust the ISO later on, and kind of, that's how I grew to understand aperture and all that shit. But it didn't come easy. I was like, what the hell is all this? Why is it so complicated? You know, for me, it was, yeah. People were like, Jesus Christ, are you gonna get this yet?
When it came to the technical side, we understand, like, it's tough, it's difficult. There's a lot of numbers, which I know my brain doesn't naturally consume numbers very well. It doesn't digest these things. Lots of new terminology and whatnot. So you just took the approach of like, I'm just going to take photos in some sort of assisted mode, like program or aperture priority or whatever, see what the camera suggests. And then from there, tell me if I'm getting this right. Then you'd put it in manual and then adjust to see if you can get the photo closer to what you saw in your head.
Yeah. So like, yes. I would just shoot P, like I said, whatever, what do they call it? Program? Is that program?
Or yeah.
Program. Mm-hmm. So I would shoot. When I first came home, I had a Canon. My family had bought me this little Rebel when I came home. And so I would shoot a photo and it would, whatever it would render, I would look at the file and it would say the photo was blurry or whatever. It was like blurry. So through research, obviously, I would have to increase the speed. But if I'm increasing the speed, that means I have to figure out the light. You know, I have to figure out to compensate for the light, right? So that's the way I kind of learned, you know what I mean? Just looking, trial, and it's, you know, kind of like trial and error and, you know, process of elimination. This doesn't work. This doesn't work. This works. This works. This doesn't work. And so, you know, it took a little while, but I got it. I didn't go into, you know, I didn't like these numbers confuse the shit. I like stop down. Stop down means going up. I'm like, what do you mean stop down? Stop down, then it should be down to F2, not, you know, F22. You know what I'm saying? So it threw me off. So a little bit in the beginning. And then, you know, so that's how I did it. You know, it was a little weird, but.
Just a little weird. Yeah. So during that time, like you were on house arrest, right? Like you had to stay at home. So when you finally were able to get a camera in your hand, everything that you photographed and the way that you learned photography had to be from within, you know, the four walls of your house, right? Okay. Yeah. So what are you shooting? How do you keep yourself motivated?
Oh, Jesus. It was difficult to keep myself motivated. You know, I shot a whole lot of macro. I wish I had some thought, but, you know, macro could be so beautiful. You know, I mean, it really is. It is beautiful. But, I would have to crawl around on the floor outside of my lawn, like, you know, looking for bugs and shit. water droplets, like everybody else, you know, I would practice the speed, photographing water and, just little things, you know. I would photograph family members. I sucked really bad. I was just really horrible. But I think when I created one photograph that, you know, I joined it was like National Geographic had this thing. It was called Your Shot. And it was a platform for amateur photographers to have a chance to show their work on National Geographic. And so I remember the first time I was chosen, one of my pictures were chosen. I was like, holy shit, National Geographic picked one of my pictures. I was like, holy shit. I was like, you know, I called, I was so excited. I was like, oh, I called my girlfriend at the time and told her, National Geographic. But then I realized it was just a real, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal. But to me, it was a big deal. And so those were the things that kind of made me, you know, evolve, like, you know, it made me move forward in photography. It made me think that maybe I got something in me that could make a nice picture, you know, that makes good pictures. So, yeah.
So where did that go from there? Because at some point now you're photographing people, right? Was that photo that you had for National Geographic, the My Shot, was that of a person?
First it was, I had taken this photograph of, at the time, my mother, my dad and my mother, I was visiting my mom and she was assembling something, Christmas light. She was taking Christmas light, whatever it was. And I had made this photograph of her. She was unpacking this picture of Jesus or whatever. And so I had taken this picture of her unwrapping this or putting it away. I'm not sure what she did. But anyway, I called it Saving Jesus. I think she was packing it away. And so there was a whole bunch of stuff in the frame. And I just clicked it off, and it was just her leg showing. I have it somewhere. Maybe I could show it to you. And that was one of the photographs that were done while I was on house arrest, you know. And so it was actually really a lot of people wanted it. They wanted to buy it, you know. So I was like really thrilled with that, as you might guess, you know.
Of course. So, yeah. Of course. So you got this photo of your mom during house arrest. You submit it to National Geographic. They're like, this is a great photo. So then they share it, right?
Yeah.
I want to know now when you get to the point, because if you start photographing macro, you start doing, you know, these things around your house. Did you always have the end goal of photographing people, or was it, did it just kind of develop organically for you? Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
It developed organically. I think because I was so, I'm a very sensitive person. I mean, it may not seem so, but I'm very, you know, because I can be a little, kind of like a little loose, but, and I'm not very shy, but I'm very sensitive when it comes to, like, you know, people and, you know, kind of empathizing and all this stuff. So, I think, you know, that was really, I think I just wanted to know people. I wanted to know myself better through the hearts of other people. And so I think that was really the catalyst to kind of really photograph people. I wanted to know more. I wanted to know people. I wanted to know their stories. I think I was just trying to find, you know, where I belong in the photography world. And I think it was through people that was what kept me curious, I think. And wanting to do more, you know, if it wasn't for people, I don't think I would be, it would, I don't think I could be, unless I was, had the opportunity to go and shoot like wildlife in Africa or something like that. You know, unfortunately we don't have that luxury all the time. You know, I wasn't really big on sports photography. I like crime, but crime involves people. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind of all tied into that kind of, I like the gritty kind of side, you know, just people really. It was just, you know, I was always intrigued with people, you know.
So today, like when I look at your website or when I look at your Instagram, it's full of photos of, you know, as you're saying, people, but it looks like, I feel like I have a hard time kind of defining your photography because part of it feels like it's street photography. The other part feels like, no. Like these are definitely portraits. Like, you know, where do you think that balance lies for you?
You know, I don't think there is a balance, to be honest with you. I think it's what I feel at the moment. You know, I don't think I can't see myself just shooting one thing and falling into that trap of being categorized as Well, I like portraits because I think I'm good at making portraits. That's one thing. And number two, I think it kind of brings us together. Like when I'm creating a portrait, it brings me together with who I'm photographing. It kind of answers questions for me because I get to talk to the people. It becomes more intimate for me. And I like that journey. I like to know people and I like to understand what the hell's going on around me. I want to understand people. And so I think that goes right back to, you know, from when I first started, you know, with the whole prison and you know, imagining, you know, different situations and people being part of, you know, and the cultures and all that. I think it comes through, you know, most of the time for me in portraits.
So how does a camera help you understand who somebody is?
Well, I think sometimes, you know, the eyes are very telling. I think, you know, I mean, look, we could take a picture of somebody and it could be completely, you might think the guy's a homeless guy, but the guy's, you know, very wealthy, you know. But I think for me, it's more of a personal, you know, journey, you know, to understand people. And I don't know. I think it's just, I seek the truth through people. And so, you know, whether it comes through, like, I'll show you. Yeah, like this picture here. This was like one of my early pictures. Like this woman taken, she was like 93 years old and she would swim in Coney Island. And I found this very, I just found it very strong. I think people are amazing. Like just amazing. I don't know how to explain it. I really don't. Well,
then let me ask you a question. What is more fulfilling? Is it the time that you spend with the people that you're photographing, or is it the photograph itself?
I think it's both. I think if the photograph comes out well, if it does good, you know, like kind of, if it holds your attention for more than 3 seconds, I think I fucking scored. You know what I mean? I think I scored, because these days with so many photographs being uploaded, I always mention it, you know, it's kind of hard to hold people's attention, you know? And I think if I can convey, you know, if I could kind of not convey, but it's a bad word, but if I could make someone feel, if I could evoke feeling through a photograph, even if it's just a simple photograph, or maybe make someone think or whatever, you know, if I can evoke some kind of feeling, I think it's I think I did my job, you know, as a photographer.
So how do you do that? How do you ensure that your photo evokes an emotion?
You know, like, so for me, it became a challenge to take a simple portrait, let's say a black and white, and kind of make it so out, and so make it look like, you know, like if you look at it, you're like, wow, that's pretty good. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty good. It's really strong. I don't know. I don't know what makes us look at a photo and say, damn, that's a pretty good photo. You know what I'm saying? For me, it's almost like there's a connection there or something, you know, for me. I don't know.
So then when you look at works of other photographers, I guess, compared to, okay, let me try to frame this question. So you look at your portfolio of images, your favorite photos of yours, and then you just go on Instagram and you see somebody else's images. What is it about your images that you love the most? Like what makes you hold those images close to your heart? There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
I wouldn't say low. I think it's something that's like kind of draws me in, that holds me there. Like, say, so like, it's hard for me to explain this because it's
well, let's go back to that photograph of that woman, right? Let's just take that photo as an example, right? What was it about her that made you think something here is compelling and I would like to photograph her?
I just think that the whole her whole demeanor, the hat, the sun visor, it just showed so much personality. Like, it just kind of oozed this persona, this personality. And I think if for me, just looking at her, it brought up questions, and it kind of, you know, it's just like, I don't know. People amaze me. I may sound like goofy and like over the top, like into this shit, but I really am passionate about people. I mean, if you look at her, it's a simple photo, but she was 92 years old and she's doing laps. And I didn't even know this before, you know, she was just getting her shit together on the boardwalk. And when I snapped the photo of her, and you know, when she saw me taking the photograph, you know, she started laughing, and when she laughed, it made me feel good. And after seeing the photograph, it made me feel something. It made me feel like I accomplished something. It made me feel. I don't know. It's a weird thing. I don't know why we take photographs. Why we do so much? I have no idea. I think
it's the same way.
You know, it's weird. Yeah. It's a really good question, but it's really hard to answer for me. You know, like, I'm connected to almost all of these people in a way. You know, I don't know. Sounds crazy, right?
No, not at all. I'm the exact same way. I mean, I think about that quite often. It's like, because, you know, I think it was Ansel Adams who said that there's two people in every photograph, the photographer and the viewer. And what's so difficult about photography is it is an art form, which means that it's subjective. You could hate a photo that I love, you know, but it doesn't really matter because it came from us. But And I don't know, because I struggle with this as well. It's like, I don't know if I feel like some people love photography because the technical aspect speaks to their brain and it makes sense to them. And other people love photography because it's more up to interpretation. And that's the side of the brain that it speaks to for them. But unfortunately, the medium is exactly the same, where it's like with painting, it doesn't really work like that. Maybe with writing. I don't know. I'm not very good with words either. So that's where I see that. So answering that question of like, what is it that interests you most about something or someone to want you to take a photograph, I think is what drives me to continue this podcast. It's like, that's what it is that I want to know, is that I want to hear the answer from everybody. And fortunately and unfortunately, sometimes the answer is I'm still trying to figure that out myself, you know? So, but what, when I look at your photographs, I think the thing that you said there was that like something about her was intriguing. It made you ask questions in your head, like, what is going on here? And every single one of your photos that I look at, that's the exact question that's going through my head. What is going on here? You know, and it's interesting enough to where I want to look at it even longer. So I guess my next question for you is like, when you go out, I guess, first of all, how much time do you spend when you go out and you shoot? And then second of all, how do you decide what it is that you shoot? What is it that has to pique your interest enough for you to dive deeper into that?
You know, that's such a great question, because today is so, it's like, wow, where do you like find another, like, you know, we try to, as photographers, we want to bring something fresh to the table, you know. It's obvious you want to bring something fresh to the table, you know, like an artist, you know, you don't want to keep throwing up, you know, Picasso, you know, and doing duplicates. So I think for us, I think what keeps us motivated is always that journey and that, you know, that it's kind of an adventure to kind of look, you know, kind of try to find something different that speaks to us. You know what I mean? So I think the question was, what keeps me going? What was the question again?
It's what is it when you're out shooting, what is it that sparks your interest take a photo of something or dive deeper into figuring out what is it that's interesting about this enough to take a photo of it.
Yeah, I think it's like what we mentioned. I think it's something I want to bring something riveting, even if it's a simple portrait. You know, many of my photographs are portraits because I think I tend to like to get close. And I don't mean just close, like with the camera. I mean close to people. You know what I mean? So I think, you know, if you could pull that off, for me, it's difficult. It's difficult. And, you know, I went out the other day and I haven't really been photographing much at all. I went out the other day and I took maybe two photographs. I mean, there was nothing really that kind of, that was fresh and new or a look that I wanted to engage in. I think it has to be, you know, for today, for me, I think it has to be something. I mean, this is just me. I think it has to be something that holds my, you know, like really resonates with me. And that could be anything. It could be anything. But most of the times I like photographing people up close. I think I have to feel something. There has to be some kind of feeling there. I was walking down the street and I had my camera and I'm saying that would be a good shot. That would be a good shot, but it's been done to death. You know what I'm saying? They buried this shit. I mean, I'm not bringing anything special to the table. And so for me, I think that's really the important thing to kind of try to introduce something new, or even if it's a simple portrait, try to bring it to where it's going to, you know, hold my attention as well as the viewer. You know, I think that's important, you know, for any successful photographer. I think mm-hmm. people should look at it and say, that's nice. You know, even if it's just a portrait, you know.
So then there's so much to think about there. When it comes to, as you said, getting closer to somebody, not just physically with your camera, but actually building some sort of a connection with them. I've seen videos either on your own YouTube where you're talking with people for a period of time before you take their photograph. So you have to see something that interests you. How do you approach somebody? This is one of the hardest things for, you know, new photographers. And as you just said, it's still a difficult thing for you. So how do you approach a situation like that to take a photo of somebody?
You know, I got to tell you, it was painfully difficult for me to, I feel comfortable where I shouldn't feel comfortable. So if you put me, you know, in prison, like if I was in prison, I understand that mentality. Mentality is not very hard to understand, you know, for me, because I grew up around that. It's pretty sad, you know, to think that, you know, I grew up around that, but I understand it. I understand the nature of the beast. So, but photographing different cultures and different people and approaching, let's say, someone from Pakistan or a woman with, you know, a full burqa on and just seeing her eyes, that's difficult to do for me. Like to walk over to someone they're very against it, number one, and to try to get them to understand why I want to photograph. You know, most people, it depends on how you approach it, but that was very tough for me. That was a difficult thing. But all I could say is it takes a lot of practice and a lot of, you know, you have to want it just like anything else. You know what I mean? You have to really want to make that connection with people. And I think once you establish that with yourself, I think people see it in you. I think, you know, if, you know, for me, and I'm going to use something that I think his name was Bruce Davidson said in an interview once. he would go to certain places and he would, you know, frequent that certain area. So this is what I do. I do it unknowingly. Then I heard Bruce Davidson talking about it. So he would go to a certain area and he would photograph that area for a while. And people would get to know me. They would say, that's the guy with the camera. That's the photographer guy. That's, you know, the, you know, whatever they would. So I would become part of that backdrop. I would become part of that little piece of culture there. They would see me every day, go in the bodegas, go in the stores or whatever. And so I wasn't unfamiliar. And so it would be a kind of a way for me to get in. When people are familiar with who I am, they know that I'm not some creep trying to take a picture of their kid. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They start embracing you slowly. That's another way that I was able to kind of penetrate, you know, for better words, you know, different social structures and such, you know what I mean? That was an easier way, you know, but you have to kind of work that area for a while, just like the beaches of Coney Island. You know, it's not easy to take pictures of people up close. And I get pretty close, so it's not easy, but it takes practice. And I think the important thing is, like, I can't say, hey, I'm from National Geographic, I'm taking pictures, you're going to be in a magazine. Would you want, people are most likely going to say yes if you say that. But, you know, to say I'm a guy just taking pictures because I like to take pictures, it doesn't fly all the time. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I think becoming familiar is a really big important part of it, you know?
That's something that I don't think I've ever heard that before. But honestly, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense, because I feel so many new photographers, like, we see these photos of people just out on the street and you just romanticize about that. You're like, there's so many interesting stories to be told out there. And then you get out there and just you as a photographer being on the street, like, that's a new enough experience as it is. And now you have to go up and talk to somebody that, like, you don't know who they are. And that's an entirely new experience that it can kind of be overwhelming. So just being in a place consistently so that, you know, you kind of get rid of that. So now it's just approaching somebody who now you've seen several times, hopefully, because they've just been out there. That makes it a whole lot easier. That's a fantastic tip that I hope a lot of people take and really implement that. Was this something that you heard later on, or was this something that you heard early on and that you implemented right away? Or did that change make a big difference for you?
Yeah, you know what? No, I kind of mirrored my situation in prison. So, like, I was constantly there. And so people, like, the Mexican crew got to know me, the Italian crew got to know me, the Albanian crew got to. So, you know, they were familiar. They knew who I was. They knew I was a good guy. They knew I was trustworthy. They knew I was a stand-up guy, I had my word. So they knew all these things about me, you know. And look, you know, today's world, I think, everybody wants everything like this, you know, especially with the younger generation. Everybody wants everything to happen, you know, with this, you know, with the social media. And I get it. You know, everybody wants that instant gratification. But if you really want something, you know, that's worth it, then I think it deserves a little time. If you want to be if you want to get in there, you want the juice, then you gotta squeeze those apples for squeeze a couple apples. And so, you know, people became familiar with me, and I would suggest that it's a really good tool, you know? And I think it did come from being confined, not only in prison, but to a social kind of social fabric. Like, I was from an Italian heritage. So I was, like, kind of encapsulated. I was in this little bubble, let's say. So I was in an Italian area. Everything was Italian, the Italian market, Italian vendors, Italian. So to go outside that, it was uncomfortable. You know what I mean? So I think getting comfortable with a situation is always important. You know, it doesn't make it a lot easier to go talk to a person, because it's still difficult, but it makes it a little easier. You know, if that makes sense.
Yeah. How do you deal with, I'm sure that you don't go out and, you know, every single one of your photos is just a complete killer. How do you deal with the frustration of not getting the shot? I'm sure that before you approach somebody, you kind of see a photo in your head. So how do you deal with not being able to capture it for whatever reason, whether it be them or the scenery? What do you do?
I mean, I don't get photos all the time. I mean, it's never, you know, it doesn't happen too often. It's difficult to get a good photo. You know, even if, you know, people think making portraits is easy. It's not for me. I got 3 seconds. Like, I really literally got like 5 seconds. I can't take the guy or the woman for like 2 hours and say, you know, I want to take your portrait. Okay, turn this way, turn that way, you know, lean your head here, come into the sun, go here. They're not gonna, you know, people, they're not doing that. So I got like literally 3 to 5 seconds to nail this sucker. If I don't nail it in 3 to 5 seconds, it's gone. It's gone, brother. It's, what do they call it? Fleeting. The moment is fleeting.
Yeah.
And no, I don't get pictures that easy. At all. It's very difficult. But when you do, that's the reward. You know what I mean?
Okay. So tell me, do you go through periods of time where, you know, for a week, it just doesn't work? Or is this more of like the outlier when a photo doesn't come to the way that you saw it in your head?
Yeah, man, I go for months without getting a fight. Listen, it's not, you know, I wish I could make crank out photos like that. I haven't been photographing. You know, I got to tell you, ever since the COVID thing came, and you know, it really put a real damper on a lot of people's feelings and the way people are kind of like, you know, handling, you know, everything. You know what I mean? So generally, I think the tone and, you know, on the streets, you know, is kind of, man, I don't want to take a picture. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just a bad time for everybody, I think. So, you know, not to say that I can't go out and make photographs, but, you know, I needed to kind of lay off for a little while to kind of, I'm waiting for this to kind of, this is, we've been in such, I don't know. It's just a weird time for me. You know, I think, I don't know if it's the same for everybody else. But, you know, I've called people from Miami and you know, asked about like the Miami, there's a museum there, Miami Street Photography Festival. And, you know, I spoke there a few times and I called them. I reached out to one of the founders and I said, yo, what's up? What are we doing this year? Are we doing anything? Are you guys doing anything? And they're like, nah. You know, it's a bad time. You know, everybody's kind of like, people that I speak to anyway, you know, it's kind of, it's hard. You know, you got people walking around with masks still. It's just not a, it's, for me, I kind of laid off for a little while. But I think it had a lot to do with it, you know, with me not making photographs for a while. This whole COVID thing kind of put a damper on it.
So how do you stay, I guess, I know that we talked a little bit about motivation earlier, like when you were at home and, you know, you really couldn't go out and photograph people. But how do you deal with this motivation now? Because if it's that thing that you love so much to go and connect with people and get to know who they are so that you can see yourself in their photos and then capture an image of them. And if you're not able to do that, how do you keep motivated? Like, are you looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, or is it something, are you going through your old photographs? What are you doing right now?
The last thing I want to see is my photograph.
Really?
I don't want to see any photographs anymore. No, I can't. I'm done with my old photographs. I really, but as far as your question goes, I'm just like right now I'm working on one thing. And I can't focus on anything else. So I'm working on victims. It's a victim it's a victim. People have been stabbed. People that have been stabbed in New York City. Well, New York City, because it's accessible to me. It's, you know, I was granted the opportunity. So I'm doing crime victims, you know. And the reason why I chose stabbings is because it's so goddamn, like, you have to get, like, really close to people and, like, kind of, it's, like, really personal. It's kind of really fucked up, you know. And so when I was reading an article about how many people were violently attacked in this last, you know, during the COVID, since this whole thing happened, it's alarming. The numbers were crazy. So I reached out to this crimes victims. They have, you know, all these different organizations. And
sure.
I was actually, how it sparked my interest. I was going through images, you know, on Instagram. Somebody said something about one of my, made a comment, and I said, wow, let me see, you know what, maybe I think I have a couple other people that have been, that have scars. So it's really like scars, the scars that are left behind from these victims and what their stories, you know, the stories behind it. You know, I'm intrigued by that. Like, what happened? Like, what the hell happened? Like, this guy got ripped in the back. He got like fucking 400 stitches across his back.
Oh.
When I took his photograph, you know, he told me this story, and I was like, it's hard to believe that a guy could just come out of a car, pop out of a car and just come across with a carpet cutter and rip his back apart. And so I took that photograph, and when he spoke to me, he spoke like it was just, it was really like commonplace. Like, it was like really like, yeah, man, I was hanging out and the guy came out, and I even got a soundbite of him talking. The guy came out and just ripped me across the back, and all I felt was like burning. And I was like, shit. I was like, what did you do? What did you do? He's like, I didn't do shit. That's the funny thing. I don't know if I believe him, but that's what he told me. And so, you know, that and a couple other, you know, someone with a scar across their face, you know, they call it in prison, they call it a $150. I don't know why they call it a $150. I have to do some research behind that, but a $150 is when they cut you from, I think it's when you talk, they cut you from ear to your mouth. And jeez. I took a photograph of this guy that has this really deep cut, and it looks like an extension of his mouth almost. So, yeah, I'm doing a body of work with these kind of images. They're very strong, but it kind of tells where we're at, you know, in our social kind of fact, like, you know, socially, where a lot of people, there's a lot of tension in the air, I think. For me, I'm seeing, anyway, political tensions, all kinds of shit going on. So, you know, I'm familiar with it, like I said, so, yeah.
Well, if the images are half as powerful as your words were there, those are going to be incredible, because I mean, I could see the photos in my head, and it just, you know, I cringe a little bit. And I'm sure that people are listening right now and they're cringing a little bit. And I know that there's organizations, where, you know, you can go into a hospital and you can, you know, photograph a family who maybe they've lost a child or something like that, you know, and you can go and you can kind of help out in these situations to either bring some peace or whatever. What is it that you hope to do with these photos?
Well, you know, I've been a victim of violence, so I've been shot and I've been stabbed as well. So for me, it's a way for me to kind of, you know, I'm going to lay out like a platform. It's for a way for me to tell people, like, you know, you could do things smart or you could do things stupid in mm-hmm. you know, this lifetime. And so for me, it's kind of like I wouldn't say like to bring awareness to victims and stuff, but I think there's a lesson to be learned from every kind of, you know, from these stories. The stories are really intriguing, like, you know, like how it happened. It could be as stupid as like, you know, stepping on someone's sneaker, and getting you know, just they're just little bits of truths that I, you know, put together. But for me, I think it's I want to bring it. You know, I want to bring it to the table and tell people, like, this is what's happening in the world today, man. This is real shit. You know, these people don't have really a voice. They don't walk, you know, the guy's walking around with a scar across his face. I mean, obviously there's a story there. People should know what happened. You know, people should know what's going on in the world. You know, there's a lot of shit that's going on. Women that are battered, women that have been beaten. I mean, there's so much out there that we could do as photographers in a responsible way. You know, we have a responsibility in a sense, you know, when we're photographers to kind of, you know, we could use it for harm or we could use it for good. I choose to use it for good, you know, to tell someone's story and say, look, this could, you know, this could very well happen to someone that you love or you, you know. I think it's important to share people's stories.
I don't know how to end it any better than that. That was fantastic right there. Being able to use your camera for good, I think, is something that everybody truly aspires to do, but very rarely do people take the actions to make that happen. And I loved hearing your story about actually making that happen. So, Donato, I really appreciate your time today and everything that you shared with us. And, you know, obviously your story and your tips as well as how we can be better photographers. So before I let you go, can you let people know where they can find you online and see some more of your work?
I'm going to start releasing more work, but really I use Instagram these days. I haven't updated my website in probably years, but, yeah, most of the, like, if you see any new work, I'll be posting it on Instagram. It took a long break, about a year or so, maybe a little bit more, but yeah, Instagram, you'll be seeing a lot more new stuff. Probably in the new year, people will start seeing some really strong stuff, hopefully.
Huge thank you again to Donato for coming on and being so open, you know, with everything that he shared. I got three takeaways for you that I want to share. The first one is overcoming challenges. You know, let's start with the obvious. Donato learned photography while he was on house arrest. He couldn't go just walk the streets. He couldn't wait to, you know, find something worth shooting. He couldn't go to the store and buy photo supplies. He just had to work with what he had, and he did the best he could. That's it. And guess what? That's exactly all that you can do too. Work with what you have to do the best you can do right now. That's it. Overcome those challenges. Takeaway two is to connect with your subjects. People simply want to feel seen. If you're a person first and connect with another person, they will feel much more comfortable in front of your camera. If you are a photographer first, where your goal is to get a photo, and you try to connect with a person knowing that you only want them for this photo, you're going to have a much more difficult time. So just be human. Be yourself. Treat others how you would want to be treated if they came up to you with a camera. And my last takeaway is to practice responsible storytelling. We humans are messy and we are complicated. And our cameras, you know, with the same image can build something up or tear it down. You know, you can't control how others see your work, but you can control the images that you take, and you can also control the images that you share. I want to invite you to share your biggest takeaway in the free and private beginner photography podcast community, where you can connect with me and others, along with share your ideas and ask questions. So come join us. You can sign up right now over at beginnerphotopod.com/group. Again, that's beginnerphotopod.com/group. And that is it for this week. Until next week, remember, the more that you shoot today, the better you will be tomorrow. Talk soon.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.